Book of Acts, chapter 4. Our text for today, for this morning, is verse 12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Sometimes people ask the preacher, why did you pick that text? And to be honest, sometimes I can't remember. Something happens during the week or a certain occasion, you read something or someone says something and you think, oh, I want to preach on that. But I do remember this one. In fact, this one was very easy why I wanted to preach on this text. I was reading the OAM magazine, which is the Open Air Mission. And one of the evangelists wrote this. Julie in Andover is a young charity worker who stopped to chat with me on one occasion, as she said she was interested to hear what I was doing. Julie was a New Age type with a pleasant manner. After our talk together, I went and stood next to my display board and began to preach on the words of John 14:6. As I started to elaborate on the message, Julie, who was standing fairly nearby, suddenly shouted out in very strident tones, "You can't say that Jesus is the only way. It's just not on." She walked away shaking her head in frustration. End of quote. And in liberal PC Britain today, that is an increasingly popular response. Anger, indignation, to dare to suggest that there is only one way to God, only one way of being saved, only one way of going to heaven. And you know, on the face of it, it can appear a powerful argument. When nice, fair-minded people, reasonable people say to us, how dare you say there is only one way? What arrogance, they say, to suggest you have it right and everybody else has it wrong. And they say things like, little wonder that the Christian churches are declining when you persist in this old-fashioned, dogmatic, inflexible, bigoted opinions, insisting that Jews, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, etc., abandon their religions that suit their cultures and convert to Christianity. So what are we to do under such a barrage? Because it's a real obstacle to the sharing of the gospel. And also, we don't like to be thought of as people that are hard and intolerant and bigoted, because it gives the wrong impression of the Lord Jesus Christ, who had compassion on the lost. He went about doing good, and the ordinary people received him gladly. And also, under such criticism, even evangelical Christians can have their faith shaken, begin to cave in and roll over, and end up in silent indifference if we're not careful. So I have two objectives this morning. Firstly, to strengthen the faith of the Lord's people. And secondly, to convince any unbelievers that are here today that there is indeed only one name, one person by which you can be saved. But first, a warning. We should never appear as if we are superior, that the world is a load of idiots. We should never have a proud, cocky attitude and look down our noses on others. Remember, my dear friend, but for the grace of God, you would be where they still are. And that we are never offering our opinions, but what our Creator God says in His Word. Julie from Andover, which we read about, reacted angrily to the street preacher because he proclaimed publicly that the name of Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation for sinners. And we see in our passage this morning, don't we, that there is nothing new, nothing new under the sun. The first century street preachers faced a similar problem. Look at verses 17 and 18 of chapter 4. But so that it spreads no longer, the religious leaders say, among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak